Amen. Good singing. If you have your Bibles, we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to be launching from verse number 1. We're going to be dealing with the subject this morning of following God. Following God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Lord, as we come before you, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house this morning. Thank you, Lord, once again for those able to meet with us today. I ask you to be with those unable to be here. They want to be here, but they can't be here. I ask you, Lord, to be with them and just strengthen them and encourage them where they are. And I ask you, Lord, just to minister to us during this time that your word is open. And I ask you to give me the words that you would have me to say. And I just thank you and praise you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. If I were to ask the question, have you ever tried to outrun God? All of our hands would be up. Much of the time, we are impatient with where we are on any given journey. Sometimes we don't give God time to work. We see a need, we may see a perceived need, and we run out and we seek to try and take care of it without consulting the Lord on the matter. We do this quite often. Impatience gets us in trouble. Being in a hurry when God isn't gets us in trouble. I may have said this before, but I read a story the other day. It said a man went to go visit another preacher and he was pacing the floor like a caged lion. And the man asked, "Preacher, what's going on?" And he said, "I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." Have you ever been there? I know I have. And when we look at 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, we see where the Apostle Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." We see somewhat of a leadership structure here. Paul is saying, in essence, "I am following Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ." So again, we see a little bit of a leadership structure. And you know, when you are in a hurry, but the person in front of you is not in a hurry, that will make you a nervous wreck. Because usually we are at times impatient. Usually at times we are in a hurry. Now, if you think about this, what happens when you try to go faster than the person in front of you? Now, I try to teach this concept even to my boys at a young age, because all throughout life, in any given situation or scenario that you can think of, and there is somebody that is in front of you, you cannot go faster than the one that is in front of you. Whether it's in traffic or any given line of people that we could be in throughout the week, what happens when you try to go faster than the person in front of you? You can run into them. You can run over them. You can also run around them, which is to get in front of the person who is in front of you, which is skipping the line. Now, just recently, I heard of some grown adults getting ready to throw down because they got skipped in the food line. Now, in the context of the verse here, it's dealing with a chain of command, so to speak, a chain of authority. And when I think of my own life and I reflect back, I cannot even tell you the times that I was told by someone in a position of authority the two words that everyone in a hurry hates to hear: slow down. Looking back, I realize when people behind you get in a hurry, they can run into you. They can run over you. They can also run around you and take leadership that isn't theirs to take. Now, when it comes to God, which is where we will spend the bulk of our time this morning, and I'll tell you why, I believe if I'm walking with God and you're walking with God, the leadership structure will be recognized and God will be pleased. I don't spend all my time on pastoral authority, because if I'm walking with God and I'm doing right by you and you're walking with God, you'll see the benefit that I would be to you spiritually. So many times, pastors, tragically, either through not walking with God, which is possible, or not doing right by people, which is also possible, spend all their time harping on pastoral authority when if they would just be right with God and do right by people, following them wouldn't be a problem in the world. I don't spend all my time on pastoral authority. Again, if I'm walking with God, if I'm doing right by you, if you're walking with God, you will see the benefit to spiritual authority. So today the emphasis is placed on following God. And then we find those who are also following God. And we follow them as they follow Christ. We as people, we need a pattern in front of us that we can cast our eyes upon. I'm thankful for that even growing up. I didn't have a dad in the home. I didn't have the opportunity to watch a marriage thrive in the home. So coming out of the home and coming into marriage, I'm learning how to be a dad through this trial by fire. I'm learning to be a husband trial by fire, literally, because I didn't witness it. I didn't see it. I didn't experience it. But I am thankful for the examples that the Lord placed in front of me in God's house. I'm thankful for that. We cannot never get away from the importance of God's house and the examples that God has for us in His house. So the Lord put people in my life that said, you know what, that's a good dad. Watch him. Watch how he handles his children. Now that's only part of it. The Lord has to in a lot of ways do the work within us to say, yes, I will pattern that. But we as people, we need examples. We need examples around us of what right looks like. Those that we follow as they follow Christ. And when it comes to God, you and I can definitely get in His way. You and I can definitely get out ahead of him and begin to assume the position of leadership over our own life. Now, what causes us to do that? Impatience. We want it now. We want to be wherever we're going now. We want whatever we're doing to be done now. And when we perceive that God isn't going fast enough or he isn't working fast enough, we have a tendency to speed up. We have a tendency to get in a hurry and it will accomplish nothing good. But remember today, you can only go as fast as the one in front of you. I'm telling you today, some of you may have something that you have given to God for him to take control of. For him to take lead on, for him to work out. And if you aren't careful through impatience, you will fail at following and get in God's way, or worse, get out in front of him and mess it all up. Good people, now I mean great people in the Bible, got ahead of God and it backfired on them. I was thinking about Abraham and Sarah in Genesis 16, verses 1 and 2. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abraham, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, and it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. See, Abraham and Sarah had a promise, and Sarah, through her impatience and believing that God was moving too slow, convinced Abraham that God was moving too slow. So they took over the possession of leadership in their lives that rightly belonged to God. They took their life into their own hands. They essentially say to themselves that God has promised a seed, but it hasn't happened yet, and we don't know how it will. So they step into God's realm to start trying to help God come through on his promise. And on this note, when God makes you a promise, he don't need us to help him come through on it. In the case of Abraham and Sarah, you know the story. It backfired. But how did it backfire? A son by the name of Ishmael. And we see the description of him in verses 11 through 12. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child and shalt bear a son and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. So notice this. I found this also this week in my studies. Abraham ran ahead of God, and the consequences are still felt in the Middle East today. The Arab nations descended from Ishmael, the son of the maidservant, and Israel descended from Abraham's legitimate heir, Isaac, continue to be bitter enemies. So who's fighting today? We see Palestine and we see Israel. We see Iran. We see Israel. The consequences of Abraham and Sarah's sin is still felt today. And that's amazing to me. That this is Abraham. It is the friend of God, the one who God even calls his friend. This is a reminder to us that our sins and the consequences of it can outlive us to the next 100 or more generations. And it all came about by getting out in front of God, trying to become their own leader. It's been said, to do the right thing at the wrong time makes the right thing the wrong thing. And I tell you, the quicker we learn this, the better off we'll be. Don't get in a hurry and outrun God. Every one of us in here, we're followers of Christ. So when we look at 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ, then down two verses in verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So when you think about headship, and then we look at the word head, it means a chief, a principal person, a leader, a commander, one who has the first rank or place, and to whom others are subordinate, as the head of an army, the head of a sect or party. Then it cites Ephesians 5 and verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So this morning, we aren't diving into the headship of the husband in the marital relationship. We're going to stay on track, but we see where Christ is to be out front in our lives. And if Christ is out front in our lives, then we'll also have the right order. We'll also have the right structure. We'll have the right structure in the home. We'll have the right structure in the church if Christ is out front. If he is out front, then we are to stay behind, which means if he walks fast, we walk fast. There will be times that the Lord expects a little bit of speed from us. I dare say if the Lord has confronted us over something or called something out, or called us to carpet on something, we shouldn't still be dealing with it 5 years later. We shouldn't still be dealing with it 10 years later. I believe to some degree that the Lord expects surrender. And he expects a change in action, a change in life, a change in behavior. Sometimes the Lord is going to expect us to walk a little bit faster than what we want. Sometimes a little bit slower than what we want. And it's important to be reminded that we aren't just going where he's going. We're going to that place how he is going there. And you're going when he is going there, which is timing. You are following his steps, and there is safety there. In Iraq, we were safer if we followed the intel of those who went before us. Snipers would be sent out as much as a week earlier to one of our convoys to scout, many times kill the enemies that presented danger to our routes before we even came through. In the early days of the initial invasion in Iraq, the rules of engagement was so intense. If you were even on the side of the, if you had a shovel in your hand, you were getting shot. If you were talking on the phone, you could be shot. Because for all we knew, you were trying to blow us up. You were trying to plant something roadside, or you were trying to detonate something with your phone. So the early days in the initial invasion in Iraq, you just got shot. You got shot over that stuff. But snipers would go out for sometimes a week, maybe a little more. Take out the enemies that presented dangers to our routes. Not only our convoys, but snipers would be sent out as much as a week earlier to gather intel on our foot patrols to scout and many times, again, kill the enemies that presented danger to our patrol routes. Not only that, but the Air Force would perform video reconnaissance from the sky. Marine pilots would do the same thing. We also had drones for reconnaissance that would be sent out ahead of us to help prepare the way for us to come through. And this intel would help us to know what we needed to know before going on patrol. Snipers at times would take people out while patrols were taking place. As the intel called for it, they were a risk to the patrol. Some people, they know our processes over there. They know what we do. They know snipers are out early. They know those things. So they wait until the patrol happens. They wait until the convoy happens, and then they start coming out. And then you start seeing people dropping that are threats to the patrol. Snipers had a saying, "There will come a sound you will not hear from a place you will not see." And I begin to think about this in spiritual terms. Deuteronomy 31:8, "And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, and he will be with thee, and he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." God goes out ahead of us. Sometimes we don't even know the enemies that he's already cleared in the path that we're walking when we get there. He goes out ahead of us. When we get there, he's already been there. And I love the fact that he addresses things that we don't even know about ahead of time. And he's protecting us from our adversaries. He's looking out for us. He's providing for us. We can follow him. We can trust him. It's been said, don't run faster than your guardian angel can fly. I don't know about all that, but I do know when you get out ahead of God, you're not safe there. You're not in his will there. You won't please him there. You'll make mistakes there. The good that you attempt to do will backfire. Everything that you do when you get ahead of God will be on you and not him, because it wasn't his will for you to go there to begin with. It's no good to get out in front of God. We need to let God be God in our lives. We need to let him lead. We need to let him be in charge of our lives. What he says, we will do. Where he goes, we will go. He is our head. If you think about your head today, no part of your body will do anything, nor can it do anything, unless your brain first sends that signal to that part of your body. Imagine if God had a man or a woman that had their body completely surrendered to him in such a way. Even D.L. Moody said that the world's not seen a man. It's not seen what God can do through a man that was fully consecrated to him. I think about the passage that God used in my life to remind me of his call on my life to ministry. Isaiah 43 and verse 18 and 19. "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I'll do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I'll even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." When I came back to the Lord, if I thought surrendering to the ministry was hard the first time, it was doubly hard the second time. I had a list a mile long of things I'd done in the Marines and things like that. I said, Lord, I don't know. You're going to have to confirm it for me. I believe your Spirit's leading me to surrender, to preach, to surrender my life to you in that way. The Lord led me to this passage. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I'll do a new thing. It's going to be new. It's going to be different. It's not the old thing. Now it shall spring forth. And this last part right here, because there was a whole lot of doubt in that time. Shall ye not know it? It's almost like the Lord said, ain't I been telling you this? Hadn't I been trying to communicate this to you? Shall ye not know it? You already know it. I'll even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Emphasis on, I will even make a way. How can he make a way? He's out front. He's there first. The forerunner paves the way. The forerunner clears a path. The forerunner makes it all happen. And there's not a doubt in my mind that some here today may have serious prayer requests, serious challenges. Maybe you need a path that isn't there. You don't see a path. You need a way. There isn't currently a way. You need direction and you don't have it. You need wisdom as your wisdom isn't sufficient. You don't have the mind. Your mind's falling apart. You need vision. You can't see that far. You seem to be up against and up next to the impossible. And you know if it ain't of God, it's not going to be at all. And I want to remind you today that you're following the one who can make it happen. I love that one phrase in verse 19 of Isaiah 43. I will even make a way. Aren't you glad that you don't have to make the way? If I had to make the way for my life, I'd just go ahead and sit down because I ain't been able to do it at any point. I'd just go ahead and sit down. Sometimes we have to quit trying to do what we know we can't do anyway. And even if we could, it'd never be as good up next to what God can do. But in context of Isaiah 43 and verse 19, a way where? In the wilderness. So he'll make a way where there isn't one. Where will he put a river? Where there isn't one. In the desert. You think about this, mankind takes what exists and makes it better. Mankind takes things that have already been created and we put them together. We can improve upon things. But the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, which means everything that we arrive at is not new to some degree. It's already been conceived. Man doesn't come up with nothing new. But nothing is new to God because he's always been. We serve the Creator God. He creates things. He makes things. He does what no man can do. Think about the children of Israel and the miracle of the Red Sea parting. If they get ahead of God, they drown. Which means they get what wasn't intended for them, but what was intended for Pharaoh and his army. This is a message in and of itself that when God says people, when God's people get ahead of him, they can find themselves experiencing forms of judgment that God never intended for them. So when we consider the children of Israel, if they get ahead, they drown. If they go back, they're back in Egypt, back in slavery. If they go to the left or the right, there's wilderness on both sides. And Lord only knows what could have devoured them up in there. So for the children of Israel, their safest place was up next to what didn't make sense at all. Up next to what was in their direct path, the Red Sea. And God does the unthinkable right before their very eyes when he parted the Red Sea. And he didn't part it in just any kind of way. It was wide enough for what was estimated to be over 1 million people to walk through on dry ground that God dried up. God dried up the ocean floor. From one side to the other. And when the enemy thought that they could come in on the backside of God's blessing, to use God's blessing as an opportunity to come after the children of Israel. God waited until the last Israelite came out from the other side, and God closed the door, so to speak, behind them. And they were safe on the other side of the Red Sea. Now, on a side note, think about how hard Pharaoh's heart was. Think about how crazy he was. If I was chasing some people, and I chased them up to the sea, and the ocean parted when they got up to it, I'd say to myself, all right, I'm done. Whatever part of that, you can have them. I want nothing to do with that. There would be a fear, I would think, of the one who had the power to do such a thing. But no. Pharaoh and his army went right into the path that was cleared by God for his people, and they all died in the Red Sea. When it comes to the children of Israel, how did it happen? They had to follow, they had to trust, they had to obey. Not only Christ, but Moses. But God did the unthinkable. God did the unfathomable. Nobody had ever seen that before, but God did it. And you will reap the blessings of the Lord if you follow him. And then watch and be amazed. You just have to follow. You can't run into him. You can't run over him. You can't run around him. And you can't take your life into your own hands and still see God work in a way that only he can. Do you have something this morning that only God can do? Do you have something that only God can fix? And you know it. Don't be impatient. Impatience is dangerous. When you get impatient, you get in a hurry. And when you get in a hurry, it's going to end in disaster. Lord, as we come before you,